heard witness reports on nuclear safety issues, a book list, media coverage, and much more. You can hear this program again for free on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. Look at the newest programs or the podcast page. While you're there, you can subscribe to weekly free podcasts. Downloads are free, and we appreciate any size donation to keep TUC Radio on the air. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening.
And this is KBOO in Portland. It's 9:59 a.m. Coming up at 10, we have Chris Andre bringing you Air Cascadia headlines, interviews, and commentary, followed at 10:15 by Flashpoints, our good friends and siblings in struggle at Pacifica Radio, a KPFA in Berkeley. We thank them for their participation in bringing these issues to the fore. So keep it locked right here on your community radio.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, March 4th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Weather today, we've got a slight chance of rain, but not until much later in the afternoon. And otherwise, overcast, we've got a high of 61. Tonight, rain coming in. Mainly between 7 and 4 a.m. Lows around 48, not much in the way of wind. For tomorrow, again, that possibility of showers lingering on. Highs around 58, and we could get a little bit breezy, a little bit of gusting up to 18 miles per hour, and an almost dead certain chance of rain. So that's it for the weather. We're coming up now, March 4th. It seems like March 10th is way off in that distant future that we know as next week. In fact, it's March 10th is an important day. Why do we mention it? Because you know, in 1957, on March 10th, a whole world died. Many worlds died. The massive steel and concrete floodgates of the newly completed Dalles Dam on the Columbia River were closed. And Celilo had been a fishing place and gathering place and a trading place for 11,000 years. That's 11,000, not 1,100. 11,000. More than 10,000 years life, a heartbeat that had pounded out a message to people all around this region. People, there have been finds at Celilo dating back for thousands of years, like points, spear points, all kinds of napped flint and obsidian blades and whatnot that came from somewhere else. So we know it was a big trading center. And people's stories, people's collective memories go back a long way. Memory and imagination and the storyteller in all of us tap into that heartbeat that ended on March 10th of 1957. I am reading not from something I made up, not from some biased or, you know, if I'm going to be biased, listeners, I'll tell you. Don't worry. I'll tell you. This is not me coming up with something. This is from historylink.org. And they write on their website that the falls had previously formed, I'm quoting, this rough horseshoe shape across the river, and nearby are two ancient Indian villages, Wyam on the Oregon side of the river and Skeen on the other side. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. We have Lana Jack on the line right now. She is a member of the Salila YM, but today she is joining us to talk mainly about Salila and the flooding and why on the 10th people are gathering. We are not sure yet if we can do this, but possibly we will be getting together at the Bison Coffee House to talk about, share memories, share stories, or just sit silently and meditate and pray on Salila Falls, that great heartbeat, that beautiful sound that was silenced forever. Lana, welcome to the KBOO airwaves. You're very generous to join us today. I know you're heading down to Eugene, so thank you for being with us.
Katsumi, Katsuya, yeah. Good morning. Thank you. On March 10th, it really was the day that in the hearts of the YM that culturally and traditionally, when we lose something and when we lose somebody, we go into mourning. And on that day, my mother's, Minnie Wesley Shawway and Irene Williams, and my mother, Mary Cook Jack, they didn't get dressed up in their finest to go and take pictures down by the river as the floodgates inundated Salila Falls. They went into mourning. And I feel like, well, I know that that mourning has been passed on to this generation. There really hasn't been a breaking of that cycle. Because when the falls was flooded, then the matriarchs of my family turned their backs to it. They didn't stand and watch. But with their backs turned to the river, they just cried and mourned. Because they knew that it meant more than just the loss of Salila Falls. And they knew that their pleas to save not only the falls, but their families fell on deaf ears that day. That there was nobody to hear them or to validate the Salila YM that day, that this tribe would come to its end. We're often referred to as the vanishing or the perishing Indian, the Salila YM, the Columbia River Indians, the many different bands that didn't get banded in with one of the three confederated tribes of the Yakima, Umatilla, or Warm Springs. And I think that in this hour, it's important to remember Salila Falls and its people, the Wayamtma. And like you said, we've long coexisted with the land and everything that was provided to us by our Creator. We were in relationship to these things. And from somebody who is a Salila Wayam, who lives on this the land, Wayamtma, I don't even get the privilege of carrying on the ways of my ancestors, because we're not given the right to fish, because the longhouse is now run by people who have kicked us out of that longhouse. And this is our heartache. This is what assimilation and acculturation looks like, and dare I say, genocide.
It is appropriate.
I have so much pain and so much loss and suffering behind it all as I sit and we come into the new season and the salmon are returning. And yet I sit in my home while other people fish the sites my mom raised us to fish on all of our lives on the Columbia River. And it's an economic oppression upon myself and my siblings, having been raised this way our whole lives with our mother until her passing. The series of events that kept us from continuing on was, you know, my brother kept trying to go out and fish our mom's spots, but cops kept getting called, and finally he got enough tickets on those fishing sites that they just chalked him up as a menace to society and put him in prison for it.
Well, he's in good company as far as the history there. Many people have had done the same thing, have fished where the white colonial powers that be declared that they were not allowed to fish, which is ridiculous. They're in fact the only real custodians and stewards of the river, and they have a right to fish anywhere, I would think.
One would think, right?
Yeah, we want to believe that. Hey, Lena, we're going to be running out of time very shortly, but can we talk a bit before we let you go about there is a petition on your behalf. We want to make sure that people understand Salalo Falls was inundated March 10th. We're going to try to get together at the Bison Coffee House. Tell stories and remember and pray for the spirits that are far from resting easy, very far from it. But the other thing is that a petition exists, and if you go to CARE2, it's a big petition site, you'll be able to find that petition and read what it says there. Because it kind of sums up the situation of Lena and her people, and it gives all of us a voice so that we know we stand in solidarity with these people. So Lena, do you have anything more on the petition that you would like to add?
I the petition caught me a little off guard, but I'm grateful for the writing of it and the enactment of it, and I'm very much supportive, and I would hope other people would too. I don't know what the asking of this recognition is all about in its fullest. I'm not an attorney, but I'm hoping to find an attorney who could help me in these matters. There's several court cases out there that support us as the Salalo YM Indian, and the documentation that I currently possess that supports that, in fact, the Salalo YM also signed the treaty, and in fact, they were made all-inclusive in the 25 CFR writings, which is the codes of federal regulations. I'm just hoping that there's somebody out there who is an attorney who would help us.
This is a good opportunity. This is a good opportunity. People will be gathering. People will be talking about Salalo in the days running up to the 10th. This is such a critical marking place. This is a critical marker in history, and I do believe that it's been close to 70 years, and it's something that if we forget Salalo, we do it our own. It's a loss to everyone. It was a huge turning point in the collective history, the soul of the region. Lena, we have to wrap this up. Anything further from you?
Well, I'm a praying woman. I just know that there's a number of people out there who are prayerful as well. keep us in your prayers, in your light, in your positive thoughts. And I'm just believing for some justice to come to light here. And what does that look like? I say in the words of Chief Joseph, let us be free to choose. Let us be free to walk on the land. Let us be free to practice the religion of our people. And that's the Washut, and everything in all encompassing in that Washut, which is our salmon, our roots, our berries. The list goes on.
We're out of time now, so I want to just thank you so much for taking the time out from your drive and talking with us today. So important to have your voice out there. And
thank you for inviting me. Have a great day.
Yes, and of course the same to you. That's it for Air Cascadia. I just want to leave you with one phrase from Matt Taibbi in the recent Rolling Stone. Taibbi writing on about Donald Trump. He has a face, it looks like, excuse me, but this is about Cruz. He has a face that looks like someone sewed pieces of a waterlogged Reagan mask together at gunpoint. And on that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Friday, March 4th, 2016. Sam Parrish engineered the show for us today. Thanks, Sam. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOM AM News and Public Affairs as the director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Tune in to KBOO on Tuesday, March 8th from midnight to midnight as we celebrate International Women's Day with 24 hours of programming produced, hosted, and engineered by women. There will be live music, public affairs